settling on just a couple announcements. Many of you, if you've been here for any time in Ashland or First Baptist Church, you might remember Wib Hart. Wib was our administrator, and I remember first coming here as a youth pastor and meeting Wib, and he was pretty good with the finances. He was our administrator, and he would let you know, hey, what are you doing with that? Are you spending too much there or whatever? And you're kind of afraid of him. I remember that, but you know, as you got to know Wib, you realize he's really a teddy bear on the inside. Well, Wib was 99 years old. I went to and saw him about a month ago. It was the day before his birthday, and he was starting to really, he was on hospice toward the end of his life, and I said, Wib, you got to make it through tomorrow, because tomorrow you're 99 years old, and he did, and he made it till Friday, 2 days ago. Wib went home to be with the Lord. He was 99 years plus. And the family had to tell him, I talked with Diane, she says, yeah, we had to tell him he's 100 years old because he was asking, well, am I 100 yet? And I think he's holding out to be 100. But you know, the Lord takes us when it's time to go. So the Lord took Wib, and there's going to be a memorial out at Eagle Point, I think, in June. So we're going to miss him. I love Wib, but he is in the presence of the Lord. I want to also just make a couple other announcements. Encourage you, there's some opportunities this summer in the next few weeks for us to spend some time together, to enjoy each other. As you've been praying for one person, Lord, who do you want me to reach out to and to be used by you to either introduce them to the Lord or help them to grow in their faith? There's opportunities for them to come to different things and experience the body of Christ together. And one of those is going to be, we're going to do Church at the Lake, June 23rd. It's going to be at 10 o'clock. We're going to not meet here. We'll be out at the lake. And the river is going to be able to be there to lead us in worship. So that'll be enjoyable. We're going to be doing that. We'll give you more information later. Also, June 1st, men, great opportunity to get together with each other. We're going to have breakfast here from 8 to 10. Is that right, Lee? And then something after that. TBA, right, to be determined. And then also, Don Paul is putting together, if there's an interest in going on a jet boat trip. Anybody done that? Okay, oh yeah, yeah. Well, is it good? Yeah, it's pretty awesome. So he's going to do that. I think it's going to be Saturday, July 13th. And so there's information in the bulletin for that. If you would like to go, please contact Don Paul. He's going to put it all together. Another opportunity to, that'd be a great opportunity to invite a friend to come. And it's just non-threatening, great opportunity to go out and have fun, enjoy God's creation. So those are some of the things coming up for us. And then also, it's in your bulletin also, on Sunday, May 9th, we are going to have the church assessment report. As you remember, we've been filling out information. What'd I say? You guys are listening. That's great. June 9th. May has already happened, right? Where did May go? Then anyway, June 9th at 5 o'clock, we'll meet here and they're going to give us a report on all that information. We had focus groups, we had information inviting you to add your 2 cents, and you have, and I'm looking forward to that. So we're going to meet at 5 o'clock here at the church, and they will give a report on that, and then we'll go from there. So I encourage you to be here that night. So let's take a moment, and let's pray, and let's ask God just to speak to our hearts today. It's the most important thing that we can do today is what our message is about. How do you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Lord, good morning. Thank you for this beautiful opportunity to worship you. And Lord, you truly have made us free. And Father, now as we come to your word in Deuteronomy, Lord, it's an old command from way back 3,000 years ago, 2,500 years ago. And yet, Lord, it's the same command today for us, that we would love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Lord, what does that mean? We want to understand what it is to love you in that way. For Lord, that's how you love us, and we want to love you back. So open our ears, open our eyes, open our heart today to hear from you. Lord, I'm totally dependent upon you today to speak. We're here ready to listen, Lord. Open our eyes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we're going to be going there today. But also, in your bulletin, there's a little insert, and you're welcome to take notes on that and to write down some thoughts. What is God saying to me, and how am I supposed to respond to that? So I encourage you to do that. You know, Chuck and Jack, it's kind of funny you're here today because it's awesome. I'm telling a story about Sherry and I back in the Ashland Bible Church days. And so you're gonna remember or relate to this. After a year in our dating relationship, and Sherry's going to hit me when I get home today because she hates me telling stories about her, but honey, I love you, and it's not bad, okay? So it's okay. I'll take you out to lunch afterward. After a year of our dating relationship, one of Sherry's friends asked me, Dwayne, do you think Sherry loves you? And I thought it was kind of a strange question because obviously she did. We're dating together and, you know, we'd been dating 9 months. It was going to be her senior year in high school and I was going to be up in college, a third year in college. And it was my third year at SOU and I thought, man, I knew this gal's going to be my wife. And I even told that to my mom. And she said, Dwayne, you probably need to wait a while. You know, my mom knew I wasn't ready for marriage. It was a good thing because I wasn't. But Sherry was having some second thoughts and she needed some time to evaluate. You know, is this really the guy? And, you know, if we're going to be on a lifelong mission of marriage, we'd better understand or better know, have a pretty good sense. Do I really love this person? Can I live with him for the rest of my life? And so that's the core motivator for marriage. You know, when you go through the difficult times, I've been married 36 years. Some of you have been married 60, 50 years. Vern and Ellen, how long have you guys been married? 73 years. Yes. I love it. We're not even halfway there. That's kind of depressing. Bless you and Ellen. That's so awesome. But anyway, the core motivator to being on mission of marriage together is that, do I love this person? And today, you know, we've been doing this series on what is our mission? What has God called us to be? And our mission to make disciples, we have to answer the question that Jesus asked Peter, and it's like, do you love me? In other words, do we love Jesus? Do we love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength? And that's really important because if we love God, then we're going to be on a mission with Him. We're going to be willing to fulfill His mission. If we struggle with loving God, then we're not going to be really that interested in being on the mission. And so I asked you that question last week, do I love Jesus with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength? And I want you to continue to think about that and ponder that. When we ask that question, one thing that comes to my mind is, well, if loving God is the greatest commandment, and it is, what does it mean to do that? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, you can roll off that verse, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But what does it mean to do that? What does it mean to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, your strength? So today I want to answer that question, what it means to love God. And then in the following weeks, I want to look at various passages, and we're going to look in the Gospels where Jesus shows us what loving God looks like. And like I said last week, we're going to see some really good examples, and you're going to be encouraged. And we're going to see some other examples that aren't so good about what it really looks like to love God, and you and I are going to be convicted a little bit. And I want us to do that because as your pastor, if loving God is the greatest thing that we can do, I want you and I to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength, because it will go well with us when we do that. And as your pastor, I want us to rekindle our love for God with a renewed passion for Him. And as we do, we're going to make a lasting impact in our culture and in our community with those that we rub shoulders with. So this morning in Deuteronomy 6, we're looking back to Moses and the Israelites. This is just about right before they're about ready to enter into the land. They're on the east side of the Jordan. They've already been through the 40 years in the desert. Their parents have passed on because they disobeyed God, and they're about ready to go into the land. And Moses is instructing them, and he's telling them, this is what it's going to take to enter the promised land that God's given you. This is what it's going to take to fulfill the mission that God has you on as a nation. You're a nation, you're to be a witness to all the other nations around there. They're godless nations. They have their own gods. They do not worship Yahweh. They do not worship me. But I want you to go into the land, and I want you to be so different than the rest of the nations around you. They're going to take note, and they're going to look and say, their God is different, and I want you to be a witness to the neighbors around you. And so let's look at Deuteronomy 6. Moses is standing before the people, and he has given him this instruction. Let's follow along. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1. These are the commands, the decrees, and the laws that the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them upon your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Moses was telling the Israelites as they gathered there, he's telling them, God has given you these commandments, so that when you obey them, you, your children, and your grandchildren may have a deep respect for God, and that you're going to enjoy a long and prosperous life in this land that God has given you. And when you're careful to obey Him, it'll go well with you, and you will increase greatly in this land flowing with milk and honey. Think about that just for a minute. You hear people say, well, the God of the Old Testament is a mean, vindictive, venge-filled God. Do you see that in this verse, these verses? I see a God who is a God who is holy and just and righteous, but He's also telling His people, if you will obey me, I will bless you in the land. I've given you the land. I want you to be a witness to the nations around me so that they too will come and believe in me. And when you follow me, and when you fear me, and when you obey my commands, I'm going to bless you. It's going to go well with you. And you're going to live long in the land. It'll be a quality of life and a length of life that will be beautiful. That is our God. Well, anyway, he goes on in verse 4, and he says, this is the core of God's greatest commandment for us. He says, Israel, above anything else, this is what you need to do. And he says, hear, O Israel. The word for hear is Shema. I mentioned this a few weeks ago. And he says, hear, O Israel. And that word for hear is pay close attention. Not like in one ear and out the other. Okay? It's pay close attention and act upon it. Listen carefully. Give respect to the one who's given you that attention. And go do it. That's what he's saying. And so he says, hear, O Israel, listen and do, be ready to do. Yahweh, our God, Elohim, okay? He says, Yahweh is our God. And he says, our God is different than any other God. He's saying, Yahweh is the God who is unique. He is the one that appeared to me at the burning bush. And Moses is saying, Yahweh is the covenant-keeping God who is different than all the gods out there. He is the one who delivered you. He is the one who has created you. He is the one who has delivered you out of Pharaoh's hand, out of Egypt, and in slavery. He is different from all the other gods. There is no other God like Yahweh. And so he's saying, Yahweh is our God. It's really interesting. The word for God there is Elohim. And it's in the plural form. You know what that means? He could literally describe it, Yahweh our gods. Now, he's not advocating many gods. Because in the next verse, he says, Yahweh is one. But I believe he's saying, Yahweh our God is a unique God. He is a God who is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in a relationship. That is your unique God, different than all the other gods out there. And he goes on to say, Yahweh is one. And one meaning in the Hebrew means literally one, but it's a compound unity, meaning the word is used when God spoke of marriage when he says, the two shall become one. Husband and wife, two individuals. But when they leave and cleave together, the two shall become one. And so that's the same word that's used. What he's saying is there is Elohim, God, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And yet that God whom you're to follow and obey and love with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, that God is only one God in essence. Totally different than all the other man-made gods out there. So Israel, it is that God, Yahweh, whom you are to love with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he goes on, Moses says, this is what you're to do. You're to love Yahweh. The word for love here is ahava, and it is used in a broad sense. That word was used all through the Old Testament in many ways. It could mean the love that you have in caring one person for another. It could mean physical affection. It could mean brotherly love, and it was referred to like in David and Jonathan, their brotherly love for one another. Ahava was referred to in the parental love of like Abraham for Isaac. It was used for respectful and loyal love for a subject with their king. It was also referred to God's love for us and our love for God. It refers to not just feelings, which it does, but also action. And so in Deuteronomy 7:7-8, it says, because Yahweh loved you, Ahava, loved you, he set his affection on you and chose you. This is what Moses says, God loved you with his affections. It might be hard to understand sometimes, but do you realize that God, Yahweh, has feelings for you? He loves you with affection. Like we've experienced affection for one another. The affection I have for my sons and daughter. The affection I have for my grandson, Gray. God has even greater affection for you. And so he says, he brought you out with he set his affection on you and he chose you, but he also brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery. There is action. And so this love, ahava, has several meanings, but it also means affection. It also means action. And that's what he's saying that we're to do. We are to love God with our affection and also with our obedience. And like we sang earlier in the song, Lord, if you don't answer my prayers, if I still go through the cancer, if I still go through this disappointment, Lord, I'm still going to choose to love you. And so the Israelites were commanded to love Yahweh with all of their hearts. The word for all of your heart is levav, short lev for short. To the Hebrew person, this word meant more than just the physical organ in the chest, although that was one of its uses. And so when they would say, a Hebrew person would understand, when you say love the Lord with all your heart, they knew it meant more than just the physical organ. That was one of them. That was one meaning of the word for heart, and they understood that physical organ in the chest, same life, that was the first center. But they believed the heart had really four centers in it. Okay? The Israelites had no concept of the brain and the head. Okay, we know that our mind and intellect is up here in the brain. In their mind, in their perspective, everything was in the heart including the mind. It was believed that all intellectual activity took place in the heart. You would know and understand with your heart. And so the heart was where you would think and make sense of the world. And that's why in Proverbs 2:2 it would say, apply your heart to understanding. It meant apply your mind to understanding, but in the Hebrew mindset, the mind was part of your heart. Okay? And so the heart was the center of your mind and intellect. That was the second center. There was the physical, there was the mental, the mind part. There was a third part. When referring to the heart, it could allude to the place of emotions. So like experiencing fear or distress or depression or pain or affliction or even joy. And in the Song of Solomon, or in the Song of Psalms, it talks about the love between a man and a woman who love one another. And that's why it would say, when the woman was saying, man, you stole my heart with one glance of your eyes. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Have you ever experienced that? I have. When I saw her, first time at Ashton Bible Church, I looked up and I saw this girl turn around and like, whoo, her glance stole my heart. And it was never the same ever since. Heart. The seat, the center of your affections. There was another part of the heart that the Hebrews understood, and that was also the heart was the center of the will. It was where you made choices and decisions. It's where your choices were made, and in Psalm 119:34, it expresses that. It says, I will keep your law and obey it with all my heart. What the psalmist is saying, Lord, I'm going to obey your commands with all of my will. Okay? So, the heart was the center of one's physical, mind, emotion, and will. So to the Hebrew person, the heart then was center of all parts of the human existence. So to love the Lord your God with all your heart meant that you were going to devote all these centers, your body, your mind, your emotions, and your will. All four of those were going to be directed with devotion toward the Lord wholeheartedly. And so when Scripture says in Deuteronomy, love the Lord with all your heart, that's what it's talking about. It encompasses all four of those areas. So today, I want us to be thinking about this week. I want you to go home. And I want you to think about, Lord, do I love you with all my heart in those four areas? And I want you to ask the question, how can I love you with my body, my mind, my emotions, and my will, Lord? And I want us to take some time to think about those four areas in your life. Because if you're like me, I recognize as I've been thinking about this series, I'm going, Lord, you command me. You expect me to love you with all my heart. And I don't know about you, but I sit there and go, Lord, I'm like Peter. I'm just not there. There's areas in my life that I'm really not loving you with a whole heart. God, would you do some heart surgery in me? And I believe during this interim period of time in our church, as we're going through the church assessment, as we're waiting and seeing where God wants to take us, I really believe God wants to do some heart surgery in you and in me. And He wants to soften our heart, and He wants to renew in our hearts a new and a fresh love for Him. And there'll be areas in our lives where it's going to hurt a little bit. But it's worth it. Because remember, God says, you know what, if you love me, if you follow my ways and my commands, it'll go well with you. You will be blessed. You will live in the land. And when we love the Lord our God with all of our heart, it will go well with us. We want to do that. And so, I want us to think about the body. And this week, ask the question, Lord, what can I do with my body to love you more wholeheartedly? You know, I think of some people in our church where they love the Lord through their service, and they use their bodies to do that. I think of Dawn, Paul, and if I don't mention everybody, forgive me, because I can't do it. And Derek Eck, whenever we need something in the church fixed over the years, I mean, they refurbished the youth house on the outside and several other men. And I just thank God they're using their bodies as a wholehearted expression of love for the Lord. Now, I don't think some people that are good at doing that may be very good at leading worship, and you wouldn't want them up here leading worship. But their act of worship is using their bodies to serve the Lord, and that's their expression of praise, and they're beautiful at it. A couple weeks ago, we had the work day, and I thank God for you being here. And Joe Stutzman, sitting right over there, Joe and Laura and James were here, and he just Joe just got his backhoe out there, and I wanted to have the pavers put down. Somebody donated that for the back of the youth house, and I can't get to it, and Joe just comes along. Well, I'm going to do it, and he just did all these things. Joe, that's you're loving God with all your body, you know, and doing that, and that's a blessing to the Lord. There are different ways to do that. In our culture today, one of the really important ways in which we can love the Lord with our body is to honor God with our body. And we don't have a lot of kids here today, but I want to talk to them saying, you know, one of the things that you can do to honor God wholeheartedly with your body is, and it says in 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee from sexual immorality. You are being exposed to so much today, so much more so even when I was growing up. There's so much stuff out there on the internet, social media, all that stuff, so much temptation. There, when 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, flee from sexual immorality, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you've received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. And I want to encourage us all, but particularly I want to talk to our younger folks, and I want to encourage you, honor your body because you're a temple of the Holy Spirit. And that is a way to exalt the Lord and love Him wholeheartedly with your body. So that's the first thing, is asking ourselves, Lord, do I love You with my body wholeheartedly? The second one I want us to think about this week is, what can I do with my mind, my intellect, to love You, God, more wholeheartedly? There's a couple verses that came to mind, and one of them was Colossians 2:8. It says, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophies. One of the ways I think that we can love the Lord our God with all our mind is to turn off the junk, turn off the stuff. There are a lot of vain philosophies out there. Just go on Facebook, just go on the internet, and you'll see a lot of information out there. But a lot of it is vain philosophy. It's hollow and it's empty. A few years ago, my family, we got into watching 24. You ever seen that? It's old. I don't think it's going anymore. And I became addicted to it. It's like but it has a lot of violence in it. And it's intense. I mean, pretty intense stuff. And I recognized that after I'd watched the show, I would just be uptight. And I'd just be kind of agitated. And it's like the Lord is saying, Dwayne, Pastor Dwayne, Dad, what are you doing? What are you doing? You're entertaining yourself with some vain philosophies. You're entertaining yourself with violence. Genesis says God hates violence. And so if I love the Lord my God with all my heart, which includes my mind, then that means, Lord, I don't need to watch that. And I said, I'm not going to watch that anymore. And it just helped me. I'm less stressed, and I'm not entertaining myself with things that offend my God. That's the negative piece of it. The positive piece to it is Colossians 3:16. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. You know how your mind is going to be transformed when you open up your yourself and you open up the Word of God and you meditate upon God's Word and you enjoy His Word, it just cleanses you and it just gives you truth and will help you to worship the Lord with all of your mind. Are you letting the Word of Christ dwell in you richly? What can I do with my emotions to love God more wholeheartedly? Is it to, I come from a family that's pretty reserved. My dad was English, and you just didn't show a lot of affection and emotion. And so for me to go and worship and raise my hands is a major deal, because I'm just not comfortable with that. But over the years, as I'm growing to know the Lord, it's like, Lord, I just want to be free. And a while back, God was just saying, you know, Dwayne, just be free. Don't be inhibited. Just be free to lift up your hands and worship to me. Be free to clap. Be free to, yes, Lord, when I want to sing. And not all of us are there. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you're more spiritual, less spiritual if you raise your hands or whatever. All I'm saying is that when we come together to worship, is your affections, are they aroused? Are you just yearning to lift up praise to God? And just let it go and express your praise to Him. Or, you know what, maybe you and I have those times where we're really down, we're discouraged, things are happening and we can just tank. And we can get discouraged, we can get depressed. You know what Philippians 4, 4 and 6 says? There we go, Brandon. We were talking about that this morning. It says, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. Do not be anxious for anything, but in everything with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart in Christ Jesus. One of the ways that we can love the Lord our God with all of our emotion is that when we get down and we get discouraged, we do something about it. We say, Lord, I am down right now. I'm discouraged. I need to open up the Psalms and just start reading the Psalms about how great you are. Or, Lord, I'm going to choose as an act of the will to just rejoice in you. I'm going to choose to thank you. One of the greatest antidotes for being down is just to start thanking the Lord. I went and saw Barb Meltzer a few weeks ago. She can't be here anymore. She's in Medford, and I went and saw her, and she the first thing I did, saw her, and her eyes just light up, and she says, "Oh, praise the Lord! It's great to see you, Pastor Dwayne." And I noticed in her room, she's with herself, and can be pretty lonely sometimes, but she's got this countenance of joy on her all the time, and I noticed why. Opened up before her was what? The Bible. She just keeps reading the Word of God and is reminded how God is there with her and for her. And so she has a joyful countenance. And you know, the same thing is true of Miss Berta. If you get a chance to go visit Miss Berta, she's over at Linda Vista. She has been through several things, that one after another, physical afflictions. Every time I go see her, she's got this joyful countenance and this smile on her face. I'm going, Miss Birdie says, I have so much to be thankful for. I'm going, really? No, she does. But it's like, man, you've been through all this, and yet she has a joy there. Loving God with all of our emotions, that's what we will do. But we need help with that. God, help me to be thankful. Help me, oh God, to rejoice, even in the midst of the struggles that I'm going through. And then lastly, what can I do with my will to love God wholeheartedly? What can I do with my will? I've been praying for an individual for years, and lately, as I've encouraged you to be praying for one person, hope that's going well for you. Maybe God's put one person on your mind. I'm asking you to pray in the next 3 months for one person that God would want to use you to minister to. Help them come to know the Lord, or befriend them and introduce them to the Lord, or maybe they do know the Lord, but helping them to grow in their faith. God using you to reach one person. Well, I've been praying for that person, and things are going on in this individual's life where they're going to need some time with a trusted friend. And what I've done in the past is sometimes I go, yeah, I need to get together with that person, but you know, it never happens. You know, you get busy. Well, God has prompted me, hey, Dwayne, go contact so-and-so. Okay, so if I'm going to love God with all my will, the Holy Spirit has just prompted me to do something. Get a hold of your neighbor friend. If I love God with all my will, I'm going to do it rather than let it go. In Scripture it says in Colossians, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love. Right there in Colossians 3:12 is a whole list of areas that I think God wants us to clothe ourselves with. And we can ask the question, God, am I compassionate? Lord, am I kind? Am I full of humility? Am I gentle? Am I patient? And when God begins to point those out, those are areas of our lives as an act of the will. I can say, God, change me. And so this week, I want to finish with this. I'd like us to go before the Lord, spend time with Him. As you spend your time with the Lord and take time, maybe it's walking in the park, maybe it's just time alone on a chair or whatever. But I want you to ask those questions. Lord, how can I love You with all my heart, with my physical body? And some of us, the physical body might lie, Lord, I don't have a whole lot to give You anymore. You know, but with my body, with my mind, with my emotions, and with my will. God, show me where You want me to love You more. Now, the danger is this can become a legalistic thing where we say, God, I got to do this more. I got to do this more for You. That will not work. It won't work, and I don't want you to do that. But God gives us the command to love Him with a whole heart. The beautiful thing is He will give you the strength and the power and the desire to do it. So our first prayer has to be, God, I want to love You with all of my heart, my mind, my emotions, my body, my will. But Lord, I'm not really good at it, and I fail. So God, would You even give me those desires? Would You reveal to me, Lord, those areas where You want to transform me so that I can truly say I do love the Lord with all of my heart. So this week, that's our assignment. I want us to go home through the week, ask the Lord, Lord, show me how to love You with all my heart, my body, soul, emotions, will. And then next week, we're going to get into the rest of Deuteronomy 6. You'll be really happy. I had two more points. I said, that's too much. Okay? But I want to do less. Next week, we're going to find out, what does it mean to love the Lord with all your soul? It's going to be different than what you think. And with all my might, my strength, going to be different than what you think. Maybe you've been taught in the past. This isn't heresy. It's just good stuff. Okay? My heart's desire for me, my heart's desire for you. In these next few months, and really the rest of our lives, our next few months, is that we will be growing to love the Lord with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our strength. And as we do that, then God is going to use us as vessels. He will always use people who love Him. Everything else will take care of itself. Just love God with all. Let's keep it simple. Let's just be in love with God with all of our heart. And then He is going to use that for His kingdom purposes. Will you do that with me? Heavenly Father, I want to thank You. I want to thank You for this passage where Moses stood in front of the Israelites. And Lord, You wanted to bless them in the land. You wanted to have them love You with a whole heart, because if they would do that, Lord, it would go well with them. And so, Lord, we don't want to love You just so it'll go well with us. We want to love You because You're our God. But Lord, You do bless us. And when we walk in obedience to You and when we love You with a whole heart, then God, You come near to us and our lives are changed and our lives are filled with joy and blessing and
You use us, Lord, for your purposes.
And so, Lord, in the days to come, we acknowledge, Lord, we don't know how to love you with a whole heart. We don't always do it very well. And so, Lord, forgive us for that. Father, instead, would you renew us with a new love, a fresh new love, longing to love you with a whole heart. Thank you, God, that you're going to do that, and we trust you for it. Lord, now we want to respond just singing this song back to you as an expression of love, affection for you. We worship you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please stand and let's sing King of Heaven.
Jesus, let your kingdom come here. Let your will be done here in us. Jesus, there's no one greater. You alone are Savior. Show the world your love. King of Heaven, come down. King of Heaven, come now. Let your glory reign, shine like the day. King of Heaven, come. King of Heaven, rise up. Stand against us. You are strong to save in your mighty name. King of Heaven, come. We are children of your mercy, rescued for your glory. We cry, Jesus, and our heart toward you. Every eye will see you lifted high. King of Heaven, come down. King of Heaven, come down. Let your glory reign, shine like a day. King of Heaven, come. King of Heaven, rise up. Strong to say in your mighty name, King of Heaven, come.
Is to love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So, Lord, this week, as we meet with you, as we walk with you each day, oh, Lord, draw near to us. Help us, Lord, to love you with a whole heart. And, Lord, I thank you for each one here today. Bless them, encourage them, help them, Lord, this week to experience your presence, the joy of walking with you, the joy of walking in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord, bless you. Thank you.